And God got him through that. Now he's dealing with this thing with his son. And listen to what he says. We're just going to jump into these first few verses today. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in our midst, Lord. And your will is going to be done in this house, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you're stirring up something here at Victory Life Church. That you're working in our midst, Lord God. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you that our ears and our hearts are open and receptive to the word. What needs to be said will be said, Lord. And we will receive it and walk in it. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody in church building said,
amen.
Give the Lord some praise, everybody.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So, let's go to slide 2. David's going through it, man. But he's no stranger to adversity. But he ain't ever seen nothing like this before. Now, plenty of people have tried to kill him. So look, this is the guy that, as a young man, the prophet comes to town because the Lord said to the prophet, hey, I need you to go to Bethlehem, and I need you to anoint one of Jesse's kids, because one of Jesse's kids is going to be the next king of Israel. So Jesse, David's dad, lines up all his boys. Prophet Samuel looks at all the kids and he's like, it's none of these. Do you have another kid? And David's dad, Jesse's like, yeah. I mean, I got one more boy. He's weird. He's a musician. He's strange. He's out there with the sheep. You can imagine how that kind of felt. You know, that his own daddy, his own father, had to make the conscious decision that, hey, you know what? One of my kids is going to be the next king of Israel, but one thing's for sure, it ain't going to be David. So I'll just keep him out there. We don't even need to bother with him. He had to deal with that, man. As he was watching his sheep, he got so close to the Lord. He got so close to the Lord. And he saw the relationship, or the Lord showed him this amazing illustration of how the sheep are like God's people. And the shepherd is like the Lord, and how dependent the sheep are on the shepherd, and how dependent we are on the Lord. And if we put our trust in the Lord, you know, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Think about that for a second. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If I let God be my shepherd, you know what? I'm going to get what I need. I'm going to get whatever I need. Amen? And this is all realities and truths that we're building up inside of this young shepherd boy, you know? And so a lion tries to take one of his sheep, and he kills that lion. That's a battle right there. That's a talk. I mean, can you imagine if that happened in your life? You'd never shut up talking about that. I killed a lion, dude, for my sheep. It's like, oh, that's how God is. That's how God. And then there was the bear, same thing. And that was preparing him for his biggest battle yet, Goliath. As a young man, he faced Goliath. Then countless battles with the Philistines. And he was a faithful general in Saul's army. You know, and Saul decides, this guy's got to go. And Saul wanted to kill him. And he spent years and years and years running from Saul. But God was faithful. Through all of it, God was faithful. Through all of it. And David made some mistakes, man. David was not perfect. but he was still a man after God's own heart. And when David saw that he was messing up, when he saw that he was being rebellious, he was quick to repent. So here's the deal, man. David does some really messed up stuff later on. Some things happen. Not going to get into all that. We don't have time for all that. But as a result of David's rebellion, his son Absalom decides he's going to take over. Not just take over, but he's willing to kill the old man. It's a nasty, nasty mess. And this civil war, God gives David the victory, but the country is devastated and hurt, and David's heart is crushed because his son, Absalom, died in the rebellion. So let's go to Psalm 37 and verse 1. This is slide 2. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. What's David doing here? You know, there's another part in Scripture in David's story where his own men, David's own men, had decided they were going to kill David. They were done with David. And David went off and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And time again, when we see the Psalms, we see David carrying a burden and laying it at the Lord's feet and being completely honest with the Lord. This is how I feel. This is crazy. But we see him give it to the Lord. And then we see David receiving peace and joy as he gives this burden to the Lord. He still, in the natural, still has the same problem, but he has the privilege and the blessing of knowing that I just gave it to God. I gave it to him, and he is faithful. So David says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't worry. Don't be stressed out. Don't be anxious over the wicked. We see that throughout Scripture. See that with Asaph, we see that with David, we see that with Habakkuk, we see it with Job, we see it over and over again in Scripture where people get really worked up because it looks like evil is prospering, it looks like evil is getting away with murder, literally. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
And David's saying, when you see the world around you, remember what he's going through, man. Remember what this man is going through in his life. And he says, look, people are counting on me. God needs me to have peace. He needs me to be focused on him. And he says, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to stress or be anxious or make myself sick to where I want to vomit because I see what's going on in the world today. Now, God's not telling you to bury your head in the sand, but he is saying don't lose your cool either. We get so frustrated. You know, and man, I am so guilty of that, you know, looking at the world around me and getting frustrated and having to rebuke bitterness. Because I see what's going on. And where these things that were maybe conspiracy theories, you know, a while back or whatever. You know, it's like blatantly right out in the open, this is really going on. Talking about great evils. And it would certainly look like in the natural that if you're at a certain level of leadership or got a certain amount of money or you're in the right group of folks, you can get away with anything. Not just get away with it, which is not true. You're not getting away with anything. That's the point he's making.
That's right.
But there's just so much evil that has been let loose. And so we look at it. And if we don't look at it through the lens of our Lord, we get really frustrated and really bitter and start doing some really stupid stuff. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's all this horrible stuff going on in the world, you know? I mean, here we are. Wars and rumors of wars, plagues, fires, floods, killer bees, all this stuff going on. You remember that, right? When I was young, I heard that my whole childhood. The killer bees are coming up from South America. They're going to be here by 1988. Killer bees are coming from South America, and they're going to eat us all alive, man. Well, they came here, and they intermarried, or whatever bees do with the happy, fun bees around here, so it ain't so dangerous. But I thought it was going to be a whole lot of a bigger problem than, I mean, man, people are really working that up. I was like, man, I would hate to live in a little Texas border town when that happens. When them killer bees come. So, yeah. So David says, look, don't fret over this stuff. Easy for you to say, David. Not easy at all for him to say. He just knew who his God was. He knew who his God was. His world was falling apart around him. We see that in Scripture. Why do the wicked prosper? Okay, that's a good question. But they took it to the Lord. We take our burdens to the Lord. Amen? We don't. See, Satan wants to steal our joy. I mean, that's a win for him. If he can get a Christian discouraged, if he can get a Christian to do a bunch of stupid stuff, if he can just get you so frustrated that you're not focusing on the cross, then he'll chalk that up as a win. Can I get a witness? Because he doesn't want us to be productive for the kingdom. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Don't be jealous over the wicked. Don't be. And you got to ask yourself, why would a Christian be jealous of the wicked? Why would a God-fearing person be jealous of the evildoers? Well, this guy named Asaph, I think I said his name right, Asaph really helped me with that. So Psalm 73 in verse 3. Listen to the honesty with this guy. This is Psalm 73. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Why was he envious of the wicked? Because he saw the prosperity of them. On the surface level, like we were talking about, on the surface level, looking at things with our five natural senses, it looks like, man, if you're in the right little club, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, and you get off scot-free. That's what it looks like on the surface level. But one thing I want us to remember, when this pierces your heart, God says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That can only be done by the Holy Spirit living inside you.
Right.
I'm not talking about the guy that was rude to you in the lunch line. I'm talking about the person that did something so evil. A group of people that done something so evil. God says, pray for them. Love them. And you can only do that because you want to do it, because you want to please God more than you want to please yourself. And you can do it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this guy, Asaph, says, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He says, I was envious because, man, they live in these long, pain-free lives. They're willingly, blatantly, out in the open, mocking my God, serving Satan, making jokes about what they're doing, thinking that there's nothing you can do about it. There is nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. But my God's in control. And he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And he says, Paul, your job is to pray. Your job is to pray for those wicked, evil folks. Well, they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. I don't know if they have or they haven't. God says, you pray for them.
Yes.
You pray for them. That's your job, to pray for them.
Amen.
So here we go. On a surface level, it looks like they're getting away with anything and everything. God says, nope, looks can be very deceiving. Can I get a witness? Why would I be envious? Why would I be jealous of the Well, you know, I don't want to be like them, but I sure would like to have some of those privileges. I sure would like to have a little less pain, a little less suffering. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to serve the Most High God, and I love Him. I truly love Him. And sometimes, you know, I got to wonder what the kids are going to eat. Sometimes I'm just shooting this out here. This is just me giving you for instance, you know. We try to do the right thing and serve the Lord, but here's these people that are so evil. And they're getting away with murder, you know? And here I am trying to serve the Most High God. And I got to count pennies, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We can get like that. We can begin to get envious. And Dad said, No. Do not allow yourself to get envious of the wicked. And so, Psalm 37 verse 1, let me read that again. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Now look at verse 2. Because he gives us the reason immediately why we don't need to fret. Why we don't need to get bent out of shape. Well, this is some big stuff going on, Paul. Yeah, I get it. But I got to give it to the Lord. Yeah. I got to give it to Him. Now look at verse 2. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. We live in Florida. We get that picture. We understand that. You know what I mean? One day it can be lush and beautiful in the backyard. The next day it can be all dried up and withered. David knew about that, living in that environment. He's like, look, oh, it looks like the wicked are fat and flourishing and profiting. Oh, but just like that, there's going to be a change. He says, so don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And we'll talk about the wicked and all that, but we can also talk about our own health, you know, or whatever you're going through. You know, some people can't even focus on crazy, weird geopolitical situations because of their own personal situation that's under their roof or whatever. You know, that's just a back burner issue. You know what I'm saying? Because I got this going on. Same thing. God says, fret not. Fret not, man. Don't let this steal your joy. Well, the doctor said this. The bank says this. The collecting agency's knocking on my door. You know, but God says, hey, fret not. Fret not. Don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Don't be discouraged. And don't be envious of those that look like they have a pain-free life, because they don't. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? He says, for they will soon fade. That's why we don't have to fret. Because they don't win in the end. They don't win. Satan is already defeated. He's kicking and screaming and doing every play in the playbook, trying to take as many folks as he can with him. He's working hard, man. He knows time's short. And if you're like me, I can do bad all by myself. I don't even need Satan. I can get in trouble all by my lonesome. But see, we have this assurance in this verse. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. We have this assurance that there will be justice in the end. There will be justice in the end. God will right all the wrongs. He's going to wipe the tears away from your eyes. And we will have perspective like never before. But he says, right here, right now, do this. Do not fret.
Yeah.
Because the end, they will receive that judgment that God is storing up for them. And thank God, we will never, ever, ever feel one mini second of God's judgment because of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, talking about the green grass withering and dying, Jesus gives us a really cool illustration in Matthew. He talks about the good fish and the bad fish, and like the fisherman throws the net out and he catches every kind of fish. Got every single kind of fish. Here's an African fish. Here's an Asian fish. Here's a Caucasian fish. Here's a little Mexican fish. There's all these fishies of every type. They pull the net ashore. And they take the good fish, put them over here, and they throw the bad fish away. I'm not saying the Caucasian fish is a bad fish or the black fish is a bad fish. What I'm saying is God looks at the inner person. Okay? Can I get a witness? And he says, if you ain't his, then you're going to get thrown away. Now, in Matthew 26, we have this other illustration about the sheep and the goats. So Jesus is talking about that final judgment, because nobody gets away with anything in the end. You're not reading the newspaper where some wicked, evil, foul person died suddenly overnight and think, well, man, he just got away with it. No, he didn't get away with it. He did not get away with it. And we prayed that God was merciful and he reached out to God in those last moments, right? No. Yes, that's what we should do. That's what we should do. Because thank God for his mercy in my life. Thank God for his mercy in my life. Because I was a sinner on my way to hell. I was a dead man walking. You know, that's me. And God was merciful. I had people praying for me. I had a dad that would not give up on me. I had a mother that would not give up on me. Amen. Amen. Matthew 26:41. Okay, so here's the deal. The illustration, the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. On the right side, we got the sheep. That's us. We're the sheep of his pasture. My sheep know my voice. Are we listening? Are we listening? He puts the sheep on the right side. He puts the goats on the left. Now check this out. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats, the unforgiven. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Man, that's so scary. That's scary because, yeah, we're talking about the wicked and what we would say is extremely foul and wicked. But if you just go through life and you never accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have decided that that's the eternal life you want right there, or the eternal destination you want. Yeah. God doesn't send any of us to hell. Amen? Amen? That's the truth. We decide that we don't want that free gift of salvation. We decide that we will do it on our own. So you know what? For the wages of sin is death. Yep. Eternal separation from our God. This is what he says. Then I will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed. You are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What was hell made for? Who was hell made for? It wasn't made for us. It wasn't made for humanity. It wasn't made for humanity. It was made for Satan and Satan's angels. Satan's demons, Satan's fallen angels, those that decided to revolt and go with Satan. Their judgment is set. There ain't no getting out of that one. But you know what? God says in his love for humanity, he says, I'm not going to make you serve me. If you want to go there, it was not prepared for you. But if you want to go there, there it is. Matthew 26:46. And he gets no pleasure out of that. He gets no pleasure out of that whatsoever. He wishes none would perish. Matthew 26:46. And these will go away And these will go away, talking about the goats, talking about those on the left, talking about that grass that looks all beautiful and sprouting up a beautiful flower, but then the next day it's gone. And these will go away into eternal punishment. So maybe this fire of hell thing, maybe that's some sort of metaphor. Maybe it's not really fire. Maybe it means something else. Okay, well, check this out. And these will go away into eternal punishment. Eternal punishment. So whatever it is, man, whatever it is, it ain't good and it ain't pretty and it's forever. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I don't feel very righteous sometimes. It doesn't matter. It's Jesus' righteousness, right? It's his righteousness was given to me when I accepted him. God doesn't see a nasty, foul sinner. He sees somebody that's been washed by the blood of his son. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go to the next slide. Fear not yourself, fret not. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Keep in mind what David's going through. And he's saying to himself, I got to encourage myself in the Lord. I got to pull my strength from the Lord. My son is trying to kill me. I mean, to take the throne away, that's horrible. That's horrible. But he wants me to die? It's not just bad enough. My own flesh and blood has been lying about me and running my name through the mud. But he wants me dead. Because as long as I'm alive, there's always a chance I can come back. And I do have half the population behind me here. So the old man's got to go. Can you imagine how that would pierce his heart? So he says, I got to encourage myself in the Lord. Now check this out. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. That's verse 3. So trust in the Lord and do good. So David has to throw that in there. The Holy Spirit has to throw that in there. Don't be envious of the wicked. All right? Don't think for a second that that'll work for you, buddy. All right? You can call by my name. So don't be envious of that. I want you to be doing good. Here's another just beautiful thing, man, that I learned this. It's in the scripture. We see it played out in the scripture. But when I'm hurting, man, when we're hurting, when we're going through it, God gives us this amazing little thing right here. He says, do good. Yes. Do good. Go out and sow a seed. Yeah. Encourage somebody. Yeah. Show somebody the love of Jesus. Amen. And when you do that, when you do good, when you allow the Lord to use you right in the middle of your storm, I promise you, I promise that God will give you peace in the middle of that storm.
Thank you.
That's that wonderful thing. God says, turn your eyes to him. Get your eyes off of yourself. Well, that's kind of difficult because my son's trying to kill me. God says, trust in him and do good. Trust in him. Rely on him. Put your faith in him. Trust in him. Trust in his promises. Trust in his, what is his promise? He loves me. He loves me. He won't forsake me. He says that I want to take these ashes and I want to make something beautiful come out of it. So we trust in him. We rely on his promises. And he says, don't quit your day job. Do good. Do good. Keep serving me. Keep serving me. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. We see Peter in 1 Peter says this, 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. So Peter is very close to what we just read in Psalm 3. He says, entrust your soul to a faithful creator while doing good. Don't stop doing good. Keep serving the Lord. Because sometimes, man, I mean, let's be honest, man, sometimes when we get that bad news or we're hurting or we're just frustrated with the world, we have a tendency to circle the wagons and say, you know, I just got to focus on myself for a bit. Give your burdens to the Lord. Let him strengthen you moment by moment, day by day, and pray for somebody. Yes. Encourage somebody. Just focus on God's goodness and let God use you to be a blessing right in the middle of your storm, and give God glory and praise. Because when you're obedient to God, you're worshiping him. When you're obedient to God, you're giving him glory and honor. And the whole time you're getting your eyes off of yourself for a moment. God is good. Therefore, let those who suffer, this is 1 Peter. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will, according to God's will. Well, let's talk about that for a second. If you're suffering, let's make sure we're not suffering for being rebellious, by being disobedient to what God says. Make sure you're suffering for being obedient to God. It's like what Jesus said. Okay, well, Jesus said this. I read this the other day. So Jesus, these Jews had a bone to pick with Jesus, and they were picking up rocks to stone him. They were going to kill him. It wasn't his time, so he didn't have to worry about anything. He knew what he had to do. But these Jews were about to stone him. They're about to kill him. And Jesus says, for what good work, for what good deed, for what miracle, for what good work, which one of these good works that I've done in your sight are you about to kill me for? And I love that, because Jesus is saying, lawfully, you don't have a leg to stand on, because I ain't broken God's law. I might have messed with man's law a little bit, but you know what? That's not God's law. Okay. I'm here to follow the Father. I'm here to be obedient to the Father. And everything that can be shaken, God wants to shake it. And all these people, they had an opportunity to repent. You know? But Jesus says, for what good deed are you guys going to kill me for? Can you tell me that? So as we suffer in this world, let's not give the enemy of our soul any ammunition to use. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
If you're going to suffer, if you're going to be persecuted, let it be for following Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise.
Thank you, Lord.
And as the Bible-believing Christian suffers, you've got to understand that God has signed off on that. That God has allowed that. But if God allowed it, remember, trust in the Lord. Trust in what he says, because he is faithful. And when he says he loves me, he's also saying, I want what's best for my child. He loves me and he wants what's best for me. And we can't even begin to wrap our minds around that sometimes. I mean, we understand how that works, because you want what's best for your kids. And sometimes they don't get it when they're little, what you're doing. God says, okay, I know you can understand that. I know you don't understand everything, because it's not quite clear to you yet. He says, you trust in me and know that I love you and I want what's best for you. And yeah, you're going to go through this, but for some way, shape, or form, God's going to get glory. That's what he wants. He wants to get the glory out of that, and he wants us to grow in a relationship. He wants us to mature spiritually. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Dwell in the land. Back at Psalm 37, verse 3. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Do your life. It's kind of hard to do that when everything's crumbling around me. Trust in God. Fret not. Trust in God. He's sovereign. He's in control. Look, and befriend faithfulness. Now, the New King James Version, what we just read in the ESV says, befriend faithfulness, or make faithfulness your buddy during this crisis, during this storm. Now, the New King James Version says it like this. Feed on his faithfulness. Yeah. Feed on his faithfulness. during this tumultuous, turbulent time. Get your sustenance, get your strength, get your joy from feeding off of God's faithfulness. You know, when I'm trusting in God, I'm going to look back. This is going to help me trust in God. This is going to help me just turn myself over to my faithful Creator and say, I'm in your hands.
Yes.
And this is where I need to be. I'm in your hands. But I say, great is his faithfulness. I befriend faithfulness. I feed on his faithfulness. We look back and see how he has been so faithful. You're a liar, Paul. He hasn't been faithful to me. No, he's been faithful. He's been faithful. Sometimes we don't see it, man. But you know what? Look back and see where he was so faithful. Look back where he said through the Holy Spirit, do not do that. Please don't do that. You are going to regret that so much. Not trying to steal our fun. He wants to keep us out of trouble. But great is his faithfulness. And David said, you know what? Befriend his faithfulness. Make his faithfulness your buddy. Feed on that faithfulness of God. Think about how he has always been there. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right?
Amen.
Proverbs 37 and verse 25. We're in Proverbs 37. We're doing like the first four or five verses. But if we jump down, and if you got your Bible up, you can jump down with me. Actually, we got it right there. Psalm 37 and verse 25. How do we know that David wrote this late in his reign in Israel? How do we know about when? Look, this is what he says right here. Check this out. I have been young, and now I am old. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not one time. And David's been through it. Some he caused himself. Some just happened because he was on the right side of things, man, because he was serving the Lord. And he said, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken.
Thank you.
Or his children begging for bread.
Thank you.
Sometimes we've got to encourage ourselves, strengthen ourselves in the Lord. So we put our trust in him. We feed off of his faithfulness. And David, feeding off of his faithfulness, says, look, man, I've been around a little while now. I've been around this book. I've held a sword in my hand for many years. I've been through countless battles. But there's one thing, man, out of all those battles, I've never seen God forsake his kids. Because it doesn't happen. He is faithful. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. We got to do that, man. When we see the world just being the world, we got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We got to trust in God. We got to rely on God. We got to just release ourselves into the loving, faithful hands of our God. Say, God, you're in control. You know what's waiting around that corner for me. You know what's waiting around that corner for America. You know. I don't know, but I know great is your faithfulness.
Yes. Thank you.
And I know. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen governments come and go. I've seen a lot of bloodshed. I've seen a lot of debauchery and a lot of wickedness. But I've never, ever, 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 ever seen the righteous forsaken. Because he is faithful. Give the Lord some praise. Slide four. Golfers say four. I don't know why, but they do. I'm sorry for that. Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't leave that part out, folks, right?
Amen.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Sow into somebody else's life. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Now check this out. Delight yourself in the Lord. He said, trust in God. Now delight yourself in God. Trust in him. Feed off of his faithfulness. Let that cultivate a delight in your heart for your God. This is some really, really good advice. And David is going through it. He's going through it and he says, this is what I do. I'm not going to let what's going on around me distract me or discourage me or depress me. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. but I'm going to trust in the Lord. And I'm going to submit to the Lord. That's what he's saying. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. Make God your delight. Make God your delight. Fall in love with the Lord. Think about that one. Are we in love with the Lord? We can always go deeper into our relationship. They always say in marriages, you can always do better, you can always do better, you can always do better. That's true. Same thing with our relationship with the Lord. It says we can always go deeper in that relationship. Yeah. We can always go deeper. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, he'll fill you up, man. It says, you draw near to me, I'm drawing near to you. Let's go deep in this relationship. How deep do you want to go with the Lord? Is he your delight? Is he your delight? When something comes up, when something crazy comes up, what do you first go to? What do you first think about? What is your delight? Where does your mind go when you're free, when you got nothing else to think about? When you're all by yourself, where do your thoughts go to? You can't help the fiery darts that are thrown at you. Sometimes you get some weird, weird, weird thoughts, man. And that's not you. That's a fiery dart. That's Satan trying to trick you up. But you don't have to water that thought. No. That's what David says. Don't fret not. Fret not. Have you heard what's going on in the soil? Have you heard about the ticks? Have you? Fret not. Because God knows. And he knows the truth of the matter. And man, that water is so muddy out there. I'm telling you, man, the newsman is lying, but the weather guy's not lying. And you don't know what's going on, man, but he does. He does. Put our trust in him. Delight yourself in the Lord. How do I do that? Spend time with him. Spend time with him. We got to spend time with the Lord. You know what I mean? That's how you fall in love with your mate, man. Spending time with him. When you first get together, man, it's like an infatuation thing or whatever, you know? But, man, that love, that commitment comes over time. Getting to know one another. You guys dig it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Got to spend time with the Lord. Fall in love with him. Look at Psalm 34 in verse 8. Now, I got this out of the New Living Translation. I'm not sure if that's what you got. Yeah, you do got it. Thank God for all the volunteers here, but it works so stinking hard to make this thing roll. Whether you bring a casserole or you're just watching the kids and making sure they're safe, or you work, you know, with the children, whatever you do, God bless you and thank you so very much.
Amen.
Because you are so appreciated. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys. This is why I picked the NLT. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. That's our God. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. Grow in that relationship. Spend some time with him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Your words were like honey. They were nourishment to me. So spend some time with the Most High God. You're not going to be wasting time. Now, you can waste your time, you know, thumbing through your phone, right? Right? Any of y'all do that? I do it, you know? But how about the next time you feel the desire when you're waiting somewhere to thump through your phone? Just talk to the Lord.
Yeah.
Talk to God. He wants you to. You know what I mean? It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. I was a kid, man. I was pretty young. And me and my brother Mike and my mom and my dad, we went up to Montana and Washington State. This just popped into my head the other day. You know, when you're a kid, you do stupid things. When I was this little kid, and I guess I was like 8 years old or something. I don't know, man. I want myself to be younger than I think I actually was, because it's pretty stupid what I did. But so, So we were up there visiting loved ones and all that. We were in Montana. I know we were in Montana. And the family was all getting together, but I was hanging out with a bunch of people I never saw in my life, never saw them again for that matter. But my old man, my dad says, hey, we're going to go. We were leaving the hospital and says, we're going to go out to eat. So I got excited, man. I said, all right, yeah. And I'm thinking about Jack in the Box or Wendy's or McDonald's. I vividly remember thinking about McDonald's, man. For some reason, dude, I wanted some chicken nuggets. And my old man, my dad, he says, we're going to Chinese. I ain't never had Chinese before in my life. Not yet, not at this moment. I never had it. Didn't want it. I wanted some chicken nuggets, man. So I caused this little commotion, man. My dad's driving in traffic and, you know, trying to get us all there safe and all that. And I'm just pitching this little thing. I want chicken nuggets. I don't remember exactly how it went down, but I was not happy, man, about the Chinese food. Times have changed. But my dad says, well, you know what, son? I got all the chicken nuggets you can handle. In Chinese food, they got all the chicken nuggets you can shake a stick at down there. I said, oh, that don't sound right to me. I only never heard nothing about them Chinese nuggets. What? But anyways, he convinced me, man. And then we get there. We're all sitting around this circular table. All these people are talking. I'm like, man, I'm a few, little kid, man. You know, just selfish, rebellious little kid. God knows the money wasted on me to get me up there in the first place. I'm sitting around this table. And they bring me this plate of sweet and sour chicken. I look over at my dad's across the way. I'm like, that's not chicken nuggets. But you know what? I have nothing else to eat, man. So I tasted and seed. I ate it and I was like, man, this is good. this is gonna come here more often, man. We got one of these places in Milton. Man, that was it, man. I hit the ground running from that moment on. I was done with McDonald's. I was done with taking second best, man. Like, man, this is where it's at, man. Chinese food, brother. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's all I'm trying to say, man. Sometimes we settle for something so less that doesn't satisfy. That's just a bunch of rubbish. You know what I'm saying? Well, God says, man, taste and see that I am what you need.
Yeah.
Delight yourself in me, because everything else is a poor, cheap substitute. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? See, I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through that Chinese thing. I almost didn't do it, but whatever. There you go. Ain't nothing like it. Oh yeah, we're not done. Okay, so check this out. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, this part right here is just, it's really, really cool. Okay, so we got to trust in the Lord. Don't get sidetracked or distracted or make yourself sick with what's going on around you. Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord, trust in his ability, trust in his love, trust in his promises. Delight yourself in the Lord. How am I going to delight myself in the Lord? You got to want it, and if you don't want it, you pray, and you still dig in, and you do those behaviors. You get into the Word of God. You spend time with the Lord. You hang out with the Christian folk instead of the unsaved person. We just said, I can't have unsaved friends. I did not say you could not have unsaved friends. I did not say that. Don't say that I said that. How are you going to lead anyone to Christ if all you do is hang out with Christian folks?
Right.
All right? I'm not saying you can't have unchurched friends. Man, I got a bunch of them. I got a herd of them. A flock of them. A flock of seagulls. I got a bunch of them. But to delight myself in the Lord, I need to be attentive to who I'm hanging out with and what I'm taking in. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Delight yourself in the Lord. Trust the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. So David Jeremiah was talking about this stuff last week when he was preaching on the radio, I'm a fan, I love the man's teaching, and I thought, where have I heard that before? I just talked about this at the Reboot Recovery graduation thing a week before he did it. So I ain't copying him, but it's just kind of neat how the Holy Spirit works. You know what I mean? Because it happens sometimes. Like, wow, man, that is really, really cool. Because that was my Bible study. That's what I was kind of chewing on, you know? So anyways, look at this very interesting thing right here. So delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And on the surface level, it looks like, well, if I'm a Christian, and if I love God, he's going to make my wildest, craziest dreams come true. Yes and no. Yes and no. Because what he's saying is, if you delight yourself in me, you are going to let me take out of you the desires that are not productive to our relationship. If you delight yourself in me, we're going to remove what is not profitable, productive to our relationship. And you're going to let me, the Holy Spirit, give you the desires that I want you to have.
Yes, yes, yes.
He says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I will give you true contentment in this world, true satisfaction in this world, when you just give yourself to me. When you just serve me, just give it all to me. And you trust in me because I'm faithful. You trust in me because I love you and I want what's best for you. And I will give you the desires of your heart. I will give you the gifts, dreams, and goals that I want you to have. That's a promise, right? I was reading Jimmy Swaggart Bible. My brother, not that brother, but the other brother that y'all don't ever see, gave me a Jimmy Swaggart Bible. I ain't got nothing against Jimmy Swaggart. But I was reading Jimmy Swaggart Bible, and that's a promise. That's what he wrote. Is like, I'm looking for good tidbits, you know, as I'm studying, you know, information. And Jimmy Swaggart wrote his little side note. Now, that's a promise. It's like, yeah, Jimmy Swaggart, that is a promise. That's an awesome promise, man, right there. That he will give me the desires of my heart. How often we go through life just working for the weekend and kicking up dirt and not really going anywhere? But God says, man, if you delight in me, which is what you're here for, if you delight in me, I will give you the gifts, dreams, goals that I want you to have. And it don't stop there. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, last verse. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Man, that's so amazing. Trust in God. Don't be distracted. Just trust in God. Trust in God, like Peter walking on the water. He's walking on the water because he's got his focus on God. He's got his focus on Jesus. Don't be distracted by the wind and the waves. Keep in mind what David's going through as he's writing this hymn to the Lord, this psalm to the Lord. Don't be distracted by the wind and the waves. Put your trust in God and your faithful Creator. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make him your delight. And it says, commit your way to the Lord. Devote yourself. Submit yourself 100% to God. So he's the boss and you're not. You already know that. We already know that. But man, we like to do our own thing. Don't tell me you don't like to do your own thing. I'm a human just like you guys. You know what I mean? See, God says, commit your way to me, and I won't just give you those wants or those desires for you to have, but I'll bring them to fruition. I will bring them to pass. Amen. Now, Jimmy Swaggart, that's a promise right there, man. That is awesome. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Amen. Commit your way to the Lord. Devote yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to following him. Amen. It's not about you anyways. Look at Romans 12 verse 1. I stole this from Sister Dana's sermon last week. I will claim that one. I carried your thing around, your bulletin. Sister Dana, I did like 20 Bible studies last week with different people in my world. And we just used your Bible verses. Check this out. Now check this out. Romans 12, these things, we don't have them this week, but here on the back of your bulletin, that's a Bible study for you to have all week long if you want, you know? So look, Romans 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, One version says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters. It's just talking about mankind. It's talking about the Christian person. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What am I talking about? I'm talking about delighting in the Lord. I'm talking about committing your way to the Lord. Saying, you know what? I'm following you.
That's right.
I'm following you. You are the shepherd, and I'm following you. You know, it's like, okay, so check this out. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. I like that part because I know what he's doing right there. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, do not allow yourself to stray far from that cross. You keep that at the forefront of your memory, right there at the front of your brain, man, and right there in your heart. You remember what has been done for you. You remember the great love. Don't ever forget or put on the back burner the great love that God has for you, that Jesus Christ gave his life. He was the real sacrifice. He gave his life for you, completely humiliating, tormenting, beyond painful death, suffering. For me and for you. He was that sacrifice. And the Apostle Paul says, in view of that, you be a living sacrifice. You commit your way to the Lord every single day.
Yes.
You don't forget what's been done for you. And you get up, you say, I'm not going to be distracted by all the evilness in the world. I'm giving that to God. I'm going to do what I can do, but what I can't do, I'm just trusting in God because I know he's going to work it all out in the end. And he's faithful to me. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to delight in him. I'm going to trust in him again, and I'm going to commit my way to him. I'm going to follow him because he just gave me some desires. And he says, look, check this out. Let me read this. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will act. So trust in the Lord, and he will act. Now, the King James Version says, and he shall bring it to pass. Said those dreams, those goals, those desires that I've been implanting in you, that's not just to occupy you. That's for you to get fired up about.
Right.
Now you commit your way to me. You just follow me. Don't get discouraged about when, the where, and the how, getting from point A to point Z. Just commit your way to me. Follow me. And I will bring that to pass. I will give you true fulfillment in this world.